Our scripture for this morning is from Hebrews chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews, with great insight, wrote this. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And then the great Apostle Peter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And amen to the reading of our scripture and to our hearing of it. May the Lord bless it. Well, for many years now, and I believe this was the practice before I became your pastor around 13 years ago, this church has observed a Sunday in the fall dedicated to recognitions for the Christian education programs of the church. And since I've been here, as you were before I got here, we've always devoted the last Sunday of September for this. And once again, this is the last Sunday of September. I may not have to tell you this because many of you know my major ministerial training was and my major experience, although now I'm about to cross the gap between the years I spent in Christian education and the years I've spent as a pastor. My major experience has been with Christian education programs of the church. And since that's so, I was pretty enthused the first September that I was here at Boscadale to find that you were observing this practice. And I've continued to have great appreciation with this church fellowship as we continue to do so. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, I'm pretty sure that when I was with you that first year, the September of 2003, that there was the usual discussion and then the choosing and then the settling at last on a church leader in one of our programs of Christian education as Christian Educator of the Year. And then a presentation of that award was made during the morning service in the last Sunday in September. And that continued for several years, as I recall. But my memory is failing me some these days, and that may be the reason that my memory is failing me. But I don't remember that we did that last year. We had a Christian Educator of the Year. We didn't, did we? September of 2015, maybe even 2014. My memory serves me that I can remember in the past few weeks. And I can tell you with some surety of feeling here that none of us have gotten together this year and done that usual. None of us have gotten together to choose a Christian Educator of the Year. So we don't have one. Now, please, if you will, bear with me. What I have to say next could be taken as negative. And to be sure, it has some negative aspect to it. But I truly wish for and I want you to take this as a challenge, not as a negative. And this is it. There are specific reasons why this is not our usual Christian Education Sunday, and why we have not selected anyone for recognition this year. And as we look at these reasons, I'm asking you, I'm begging you all to take the challenge of changing the direction from minuses to pluses in all of what we're going to do in the near future in Christian education. So first, or number one, always a program, a major program of Christian education. It's the Sunday morning Bible study that we call Sunday school. I know it's fluctuated up and down somewhat with various trends, but in the past, Boskydale has had several age-related Sunday school classes. The little ones from cradle up to preschoolers, children of elementary youth, elementary ages, youth, junior and senior high, young adults, middle adults, senior citizens. We've had many classes. But that's been fading and decreasing slowly, and this year we've diminished to one Sunday school class for the whole church, adults only. And even with that, our one class seems to be getting smaller and smaller. As I look out, it occurs to me that most of you sitting here right now weren't in Sunday school this morning or last Sunday or the one before and so on. And so I want you to keep that in mind as I go on now to number two. Number two may be our mission programming and the Christian education component to it. We actually do several different things related to missions support and praying regularly for missionaries, monetary support for local, state, nationwide mission endeavors worldwide, some involvement of our people in specific mission work, such as the Christmas shoeboxes and Santa in the Park and emergency mission support at emergency times, for instance, natural disasters such as storms and floods. And we used to have an organized women's group who met regularly, studied mission material together, brought reports to our business meeting out of things that they were learning and they could help educate the whole church about those mission things. And I believe our focus on missions education now, any education for the church for at least this past year, has been left in the hands of two of our women. Great girls. But there's presently no program for educating the church in missions. Number three might be a special focus on children. In particular for an intensive week during the summer as they're away from the regular days of weekday school, we always call that special focus our Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is the most intensive Christian education program of our church. Most intensive. Great amounts of experiential learning is packed into a couple of hours a night for 6 days of 1 week, starting with Monday, ending with a Sunday night. 12 or so hours of Christian education in 1 week. Intensive. Workers prepare for weeks, then they give experiences to the gathered groups of children from ages 4 up through middle schoolers, 8th graders at the top end, in a variety of ways of presenting biblical facts and models, and very specific learning takes place. In years past, upwards of 33 to 35 children and 12 to 15 adults have had a week of Boskydale Vacation Bible School, teaching, learning, and experiencing. And this past summer of 2016 found our halls of Vacation Bible School vacant, primarily because of a need to study and restudy this sad phenomenon that we've been experiencing for the past several years. While kids come to Vacation Bible School, there's zero zero carryover. So we decided to have a timeout this summer to gather, to regroup, to analyze what we need to do in the future. But again, we have to admit, no Christian education this year through Vacation Bible School. And number four, I could point out that whereas we have had an active youth program as short a time as 5 or 6 years ago, Mallory, do you remember any of that? Ellen, do you remember any of that? We have no youth program at all now. And we hear of the absence of the programming alluded to every month in the financial report at the business meeting, youth fund, unchanged. Well, I could go on a bit further, or perhaps that's enough for now. The fact is, we need to pay a lot of attention to reestablishing serious workings for the Christian education of all of the folks of Bosquedale Church. Or friends, we are in serious danger of slowly fading away. But I have no desire, I have no interest at all in discouragement or despair. None. I present those present realities to you as a challenge, as a matter of seeking the guidance, the encouragement, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. A promise of God that He will surely keep if we but allow Him to work in and with us. So join with me, please, and celebrate with me the possibilities, the challenges of Christian Education Sunday. How can we revive at Bosquedale in the larger but absent church membership? See, I don't know who you're missing, but I'm missing about 75 members of Bosquedale Baptist Church right now. So how can we revive in them the great biblical principle, the great admonition of study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? That's God's word. And I want to approach this challenge, this problem today, well, on Bosquedale level, but also on a much larger scale than Bosquedale Baptist Church. But I want us to see ourselves very realistically in the midst of it. So I'm asking you, all of you here today, to consider the possibility of what I'll describe as a spiritual slowdown. It's actually a biblical phenomenon, not just some new problem. Throughout the centuries, the church has been plagued with times of a lingering spiritual sluggishness, or permit me to throw in the word retardation. The word retardation has become a politically incorrect and sometimes irritating word. But if we can get over that, I'm going to use that word some, because it clearly describes a slowing down, a sort of a backing off of spending time learning God's principles instead of investing time into spiritual growing. Spiritual retardation, then, would be the idea of losing ground rather than gaining ground in spirituality. And that very observable experience was one of the major contributing factors to the ineffectiveness of the church in Corinth. Kept it from being a force for Christ that it could have been. And Paul kept writing to them about it. That same idea, spiritual retardation, hinders the church today from being what God wants it to be, and is something we need to seriously address here as we enter our 111th year of being a fellowship of believers who want to learn and want to develop in following and serving our Lord. Paul addressed the people to whom he wrote in the Corinthian church as brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, they were a closely related family, the children of God. Yet in his thinking, they needed to grow up spiritually. Brothers and sisters, he said, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Well, how do we become children of God? Well, probably not by the following. Some say that a person does this by some church ceremony or an initiation procedure into the church family. You know, some practice or some rite such as baptism or even a baby christening or baby dedication. But Paul denied this idea, as in his words of 1 Corinthians 1. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. And then in that same chapter, verse 17, he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So no, it's not by some ceremony, it's not by an initiation process. We do believe in baptism, but that's not what makes you a child of God. And some say it's by obtaining wisdom or intellectual enlightenment. And again, we have the insights of Paul denying that as an explanation. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Well, some suggest that we become children of God through such practices as benevolence and philanthropy, that we're good people to other people. I hope you don't get tired of this, but I have a lot of experiences driving my senior bus, and the state might one of these days fire me because of the amount of religion that goes on in there regularly. But things just happen like this. One of my regular riders used to say to me as we discussed her understanding of her relationship with God, she'd say, no, I don't go to church anymore, but I'm okay with God because I'm pretty much a good person. I'm generous. I'm nice to people. For God's children, it is not that you give or how much you give, but why you give. I think you remember what Jesus said when he saw the widow and her attitude toward giving. He saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. He said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. Well, some say we become children of God through moral and ethical excellence. But Jesus taught that we become the children of God first, foremost, and only by a spiritual birth. As he said to Nicodemus in John 3, verses 3, 5, and 7. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Then verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And then verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. See, the new birth that Jesus speaks of is a divine change produced by the Holy Spirit. The new birth is a spiritual change formed within your soul. The new birth is a complete change in all, every bit of a person. The new birth is a permanent but positively growing change. The new birth experience is experienced when you make a genuine faith response to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a faith response of belief So the spiritual birth experience is a beginning point rather than a climactic conclusion of any Christian's life. Some make the tragic mistake of believing that spiritual birth produces spiritual adults. Physical birth, anybody doubt this? Physical birth produces an infant. Just an infant. Likewise, spiritual birth produces an infant. Continued infancy in the mind and knowledge of a physically growing child is a tragedy in the realm of our world. And continued intellectual and behavioral infancy produces broken-hearted parents. Continued intellectual infancy produces undeveloped and uninformed children. And concerning spiritual infancy and growth, there are many foes to spiritual growth. You see, we live in a hostile environment that's not conducive toward spiritual development and growth. Well, here's an extreme, and I could mention several others, but this caught my attention. I read yesterday of the formation and approved status of new satanic clubs in some elementary schools in the state of Washington. Can you believe that? It's true. Formed and approved. They've been approved of and allowed as a reaction because the schools in the past allowed Good News Bible clubs. A Satan club for elementary children. Unbelievable. Another foe of spiritual growth. Believers continue to possess inward inclinations. We all do. Inward inclinations. Inclinations of the flesh through constant exposure to the world of the flesh. It hits us in the eyes every day. As opposed to what could be helps in spiritual development through constant biblical exposure and Christian education in the church. If they ain't here, they ain't getting it. The receiving of the new nature in the spiritual birth does not eradicate the fleshly nature, doesn't eradicate unchallenged worldly inclinations that handicap spiritual growth because of immature and unfed spiritual growth. For example, it's no secret that many kids who make a profession of faith at age 8 or 10 or 12 go on to high school, go then with the flow of secular behavior, and as a result of spiritual slowdown in their life, or spiritual retardation, if I may use that term, enter into young adulthood with little or no moral compass. Another foe of spiritual growth is both believers and non-believers are confronted with what I've already talked about, satanic opposition. And so just because a person becomes a believer and begins his or her spiritual growth, it is hard, but it is true that as they seek to serve God and as they seek to grow toward spiritual maturity, Satan will continue to throw up roadblocks. Like, well, you don't need to read your Bible, just put it over there on the coffee table. Or you don't need to share a biblical growth with others in a Sunday school class. Attending worship services is enough. And if you do it on Easter and Christmas, you've made it, friend. There are lots and varied foes to spiritual growth. Fortunately, though, it is not all up to us. There are strong divine encouragements to spiritual growth. The divine truth is, our Heavenly Father is tremendously concerned that His children grow. And He's made some provisions for this growth. And here's some of the major provisions, and there are others. I didn't get them all. To start us on the path of spiritual growth, there is a gift of the new nature from God. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And to continue the start of that godly life, there is the gift of God's divine Spirit to dwell within us. Galatians 4:6. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I believe Jesus. And then there's the textbook of Christian education, the gift of the milk of God's divine word, the Bible. And it is to nourish growth and to strengthen that growth against the worldly tendencies toward spiritual retardation. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And then there's us, the church family. We're God's gift to each other. God's chosen family where God's instruction can come naturally through education. Learning can come to those who gather together through the family of God. And through this family of God found in the local congregation, God helps each of His children grow towards spiritual maturity. But may I suggest, you have to participate in order to capitalize on that special and divine instrument, the church. I submit to you that programs of the Christian education of a church are indeed instruments, they are tools, they are implements for the building up of the whole body of Christ. A Sunday school is still here, but it needs to have everyone, not just some of you, everyone participating and helping each other to grow up in Christ. And that for the duration of our lives. Do you really believe you can have, or do you believe you have grown up completely in your Christian walk with God? You got there? The missions education should be a regular thing in our church growth, helping us grow. Are you ready and equipped in this regard to step out into the world and be on mission for Christ? He has charged us to be so. Go into all the world and make disciples. Matthew 28. And you, excuse me, that's you, and you, and you, and you. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Carbondale, in Judea, Jackson County, Illinois, Samaria. That would be Kentucky or Indiana or Missouri. Take your choice, which direction you want to launch out into, and to all the world. And then Acts 1, we are therefore, that was Acts 1, and then we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us, 2 Corinthians 5:20. If we are to be on mission as God has instructed us all to be, I believe we need to be educated for competence on our mission. And aren't the developmental years of our children absolutely essential for starting a growth of a complete Christian life? The psalmist of old recognized this. Psalm 71, verses 5 and 17. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. And then verse 17, since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. And Paul commented on the value of training in the youth years with Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Yet, our youth Christian education is stagnant here at Boskydale. And that's not to criticize, but to bring forward in our minds so that we may be stimulated to explore all ways possible to reach out to children and youth, particularly in our church families who, and there are those in our church families who somehow do not see a need for this development in their present children. They're out there. It's our challenge to figure out how to reach them. We cannot deny that God has given us the opportunity to serve and to be a blessing to others. Our challenge is to respond, to rise up, to round up, and to raise up a stronger and stronger church family in response to the to what the Word of God calls us to do. Just to start by responding to God's leadership and seeking the guidance and power of His Spirit will assist us in growth toward spiritual maturity. And I feel the need to conclude this on a very positive note. Folks, I read all through God's Word. And I believe it is not the will of our Heavenly Father that we either have some of our church remain in spiritual infancy or that we have others fall back into spiritual slowdown or retardation. That's just not God's will for us. I think I see the challenges. But I know I do not, nor do we as a church, yet have the answers we need. But I know God does. And by responding to our mentor, the Holy Spirit, by finding and utilizing our opportunities for growth, we can move forward. We can march on confidently as though we are young at heart, not stalled at 110 years old. That, a new and renewed spiritual growth for Boskydale Baptist Church, will bring joy to our hearts. It will bring good into the hearts and lives of others. And it will please the heart of our brother, Jesus Christ, and our Father, God. And so, by the way, for all of us, a happy and spiritually prosperous Christian Education Sunday.
Amen.
Amen.